Chapter 59. Braving a blizzard, crowds gathered before a gray stone mansion at 37th Street and Park Avenue to watch the guests arrive at the wedding of 1908's winter season, the union of a son of old New York and the daughter of a shirt-sleeve railroad titan. Those observing a handsome couple crossing the snowy sidewalk to mount the steps of the mansion assumed that the tall, impeccably dressed gentleman with a golden mustache was gripping the arm of the beautiful woman at his side so she would not slip on the ice. The opposite was true, but no one heard Isaac Bell say to Marion Morgan, "Who needs a walking stick when he has a strong woman to lean on?" A detective recovering from a punctured lung? Only slightly. Never would have made it otherwise. Nearly bleeding to death, infection, and pneumonia is who. If that cameraman takes my picture, I'll shoot him. Don't worry. I told him that Picture World would fire him and throw his family in the street if he points it anywhere near you. Do you have the ring? In my vest pocket. Hold tight, darling. Here come the steps. They made it. Bell pale with effort. Butlers and footmen ushered them inside. Marion gasped at the flowers arrayed through the foyer and up the grand staircase. Sweet peas, roses, and cherry blossoms. Where did they get them? Anywhere it's spring, beside the father of the bride's railroad tracks. The father of the bride hurried up to greet them. Osgood Hennessy was dressed in a pearl-gray morning coat with a rose boutonniere. Bell thought he looked a little lost without Mrs. Comden at his side, and grateful for a friendly face. "Marion, I'm so glad you came all the way from San Francisco. And you, Isaac, up already and full of go." A wedding without the best man would be like a hanging without the rope. Marion asked if the bride-to-be was nervous. "Lillian nervous? She's got 17 bridesmaids from all those fancy schools she got kicked out of, and ice water in her veins." Hennessy beamed proudly. "Besides, there has never been a more beautiful bride in New York. Wait till you see her." He turned his head to favor J.P. Morgan with a chilly nod. Bell whispered to Marion, "That record will fall if we decide to marry in New York." "What was that?" said Hennessy, sending Morgan off with a perfunctory slap on the shoulder. "I was just saying I should check in with the groom. May I leave Marion in your care, Mr. Hennessy?" "A pleasure," said Hennessy. "Come along, my dear. The butler told me we're supposed to wait till after the vows to drink champagne, but I know where it's kept." "Could I see Lillian first?" Hennessy pointed the way upstairs. A knock at her door elicited squeals and giggles inside. Three girls escorted her to Lillian's dressing table, where more girls hovered. Marion had to smile at how her extra years seemed to awe them. Lillian jumped up and hugged her.
"Is this too much rouge?"
"Yes."
"Are you sure?"
"You're heading toward a bridal suite, not a bordello." Lillian's school friends convulsed with laughter, and she told them, "Go away." They sat alone a moment. Marion said, "You look so happy."
"I am. But I'm a little nervous about, you know, tonight. After."
Marion took her hand. "Archie is one of those rare men who truly love women. He will be everything you could desire."
"Are you sure?"
"I know the type." Bell found Archie Abbott in a gilded reception room with his mother, a handsome woman with an erect carriage and a noble bearing whom Bell had known since college. She kissed his cheek and inquired after his father. When she glided off, stately as an ocean liner, to greet a relative, Bell remarked that she seemed pleased with his choice of bride. "I thank the old man for that. Hennessy charmed the dickens out of her. She thinks this mansion is extravagant, of course, but she said to me, 'Mr. Hennessy is so marvelously rough-hewn, like an old chestnut beam.' And that was before he announced he's building us a house on 64th Street with a private apartment for Mother." "In that case, may I offer double congratulations?" triple while you're at it. Every banker in New York sent a wedding gift. Good Lord! Look who came in from the great outdoors. Texas Walt Hatfield, longhorn lean and wind-burned as cactus, swaggered across the room, flicking city men from his path like cigarette ash. He took in the gilded ceiling, the oil paintings on the walls, and the carpet beneath his boots. Congratulations, Archie. You struck pay dirt. Howdy, Isaac. You're still looking mighty peaked. Best man nerves. Hatfield glanced around at the elite of New York society. I swear, Hennessy's butler looked at me like a rattlesnake at a picnic. What did you do to him? Said I'd scalp him if he didn't head me toward you. We gotta talk, Isaac. Bell stepped close and lowered his voice. Did you find the body? Texas Walt shook his head. Searched high and low. Found a shoulder holster that was probably his, and a boot with a knife sheath. But no body. The boys think coyotes ate it. I don't believe that, said Bell. Neither do I. Critters always leave something, if only an arm or a foot. But our hound dogs turned up nothing. It's been 3 months. Bell did not reply. When a smile warmed his face, it was because he saw Marion across the room. Everything's deep in snow, Texas Walt continued. Bell remained silent. I promised the boys I'd ask. When do we stop hunting? Bell laid one big hand on Texas Walt's shoulder and the other on Archie's, looked each man in the eye, and said what they expected to hear. Never.